Maybe a little louder. I mean, the mic is not me. Personally, of course. There will be a church council meeting directly following the service. If you'd meet up here by the piano side front, church council. This morning's message may sound familiar. If it does, I don't apologize for that. Okay? Let's bow together before the Lord. Father, we do thank you again for the joy that singing these great songs brings to us. Truly, Father, how great thou art. Truly, Father, I'd rather have Jesus. Truly, Father, here am I, Lord. Send me. We have sung these songs and we have lifted up our voices together, and Father, we want you to know that we mean them. We want to do what you want us to do. I pray, Father, that you will bless our time together in your word and encourage us by it. And I ask that, Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Next Sunday, I'm going to be starting a rather lengthy series looking at the book of 1 Corinthians. And I thought about starting it this Sunday. And I don't know how to explain it, but I couldn't. So take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Timothy. We're going to start there. And we're going to be looking at several different passages of Scripture. I wish we could stay focused in one, but we won't be able to. There will be three primary passages, and when we go to those, I'll tell you if it's one of the main passages, you can stick a bulletin. Or fortunately, you've got a bulletin and a calendar, and you can take a 3x5 card out of the thing, and you can have all of them marked. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul says, verse 6, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Paul says, basically, in these few words, I'm done. I finished the job that God had saved me and called me to do. I believe I have served him faithfully, and I know that the time of my departure is at hand. Before, when he wrote Philippians, he was a prisoner in Rome, and he said, "I know that this shall turn out for my deliverance through your prayers." This time, he has no such confidence. In fact, it seems as though he knows, whether God revealed it to him or not, but he knows that he's not going to get out of this one alive. He will be carried out of the Roman prison after being executed. And he's able to say, "I finished the course. I fought the fight. I've run the race. I'm done. I finished what God called me to do." He had said back in Acts chapter 20, that's what he wanted to do, that he was praying that God will allow him to finish the work that God had called him to do. And we put a lot of emphasis on men like the Apostle Paul. And they are the big names, you know, Paul and Peter. And we tend to emphasize big people. We tend to emphasize the people who do the big things. But I'd like to suggest to you that many times there are, behind the scenes, mostly unknown people who have a significant ministry. Many times ministering to those people who are going to do the big things, encouraging and helping and supporting them as they do the big things. And yet, oftentimes I expect maybe those people wouldn't be able to do the big things if it weren't for these little people. And the guy I want us to look at, first of all, He's right here in 2 Timothy, but back in chapter 1, it's this dude, Onesiphorus. Onesiphorus. Don't you love Greek names? Back in chapter 1, start with me in verse 15. We're going to pick up Onesiphorus in verse 16. Paul says, 2 Timothy 1:15, "You are aware of the fact that all who are in Asia turned away from me." Now, I don't know about you, but I don't see how you can read that and not have your heart kind of slow down a little bit. Here is Paul, the great apostle, who has started so many churches, who won so many people to the Lord, who wrote so much New Testament scripture, and he's a prisoner in Rome for his faith, and everybody turns away from him. Wouldn't you think, humanly speaking, that of all people, this guy would have people flocking to help him and support him and encourage him? "All who are in Asia turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes." Look at verse 16. "The Lord grant mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he was in Rome, he eagerly searched for me and found me. The Lord grant to him to find mercy from the Lord on that day." And you know very well what services he rendered at Ephesus. I want to hold out to you this morning a ministry. It's not the ministry of the Apostle Paul. It's not the ministry of the great church-planting, traveling evangelist Apostle Paul. It's the ministry of Onesiphorus, the refresher. The refresher. Did you notice how he was described in verse 16? "The Lord grant mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains." There is no record that Onesiphorus ever started a church. There's no record that he ever led anybody to the Lord. There's certainly no record that he wrote any New Testament scripture. But you know what? Sometimes I think those who did those things are intimidating to us. They present such a high image, such a high model of what it means to serve God. You know, if you're going to really serve God, you've got to be a missionary like Elizabeth Milligan or Melanie May. You've got to either go to Uganda or England or some other foreign country. You know, if that's how you've got to serve God, you've got to be like the Apostle Paul and be willing to die for your faith. You've got to write some letters from prison. I would like to hold forth to you the ministry of being a refresher. A refresher. Because this is a ministry that you can do right where you are. Many times when I talk to people about serving God and having a ministry, they'll say, "Oh, I can't do anything. I didn't go to Bible college." You know what? You don't have to go to Bible college to be a refresher. "Well, you know, I've never studied theology and I don't know Greek and Hebrew." You know what? You don't have to know Greek and Hebrew to be a refresher. "Well, yeah, but you know, I can't stand up in front of people and talk to people like you do." You don't have to be able to stand up in front of people and talk to people to be a refresher. What did Onesiphorus do? He refreshed Paul. He refreshed Paul. I would like to suggest to you that that's an important ministry. So I want us to consider, first of all, this morning, the importance of refreshing. The importance of refreshing. Leave a marker here. This is one of the main passages. This next one isn't, but I want you to go to Acts chapter 3 with me for a minute. Acts chapter 3, you remember the time Jesus has just recently ascended to heaven. Peter had preached on the day of Pentecost, and thousands of people came to the Lord. And now they're continuing to be witnesses. They're continuing to lead people to the Lord. And Peter is witnessing. Verse 18, Acts 3:18. But the things which God announced beforehand by the mouth of all the prophets that his Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Therefore repent and return so that your sins may be wiped out. Now notice this. In order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And that he may send Jesus the Christ appointed for you, whom heaven must receive until the period of restoration of all things. You see, when Jesus comes back and sets up his kingdom here on earth, he is going to restore the earth to the way things were, I believe, back in the Garden of Eden. There are prophecies in the Minor Prophets where it talks about the harvester is going to be right on the heels of the guy who's plowing and planting the seed, because the fruitfulness of the earth is going to be multiplied again. And Peter describes this time of the restoration, a period of the restoration of all things, as times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Times of refreshing. When Jesus is here ruling on this earth, it is going to be a time of refreshing. One of the things that we're not going to have to put up with are campaigns. How many of you are sick of the election campaigns? It's disgusting. I want to vote in bold letters, none of the above. Okay? I can imagine having to send in my ballot, holding my nose, because they all stink. There aren't going to be any elections, because we will be ruled by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who will rule righteously and in mercy and grace. It's going to be a time of refreshing, restoration of all things. God must think that this matter of refreshing is pretty important. He must think it's pretty important. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. This is the second of the places we'll be coming back to. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Okay, we've met Onesiphorus. Now we're going to meet Stephanus and Fortunatus and Achaicus. How many of you remember hearing about Stephanus, Fortunatus, and Achaicus? Bob. Okay. None of the rest of you have ever heard of them, because they didn't start any churches. They didn't write any scripture, but you know what they did? They refreshed Paul. 1 Corinthians 16, start with me in verse 17. 1 Corinthians 16, 17. I rejoice over the coming of Stephanus and Fortunatus and Achaicus, because they have supplied what was lacking on your part, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge such men. Paul says, these three guys came and they refreshed me. They refreshed me. Paul is writing 1 Corinthians from Ephesus, evidently, and he's going to be facing persecution, so much so that he's going to have to leave town. And he's refreshed. Leave a marker there. Go with me to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Paul asks for prayer at the end of Romans chapter 15. It's a very poignant request. Verse 30. Now I urge you, brethren, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be rescued from those who are disobedient in Judea, that my service for Jerusalem may prove acceptable to the saints, so that I may come to you in joy by the will of God and find refreshing rest in your company. Refreshing rest. That's what's supposed to happen, beloved, when we come together as the church. That's part of what's supposed to happen when we are serving together, when we are worshiping together, when we are fellowshipping together. There should be refreshing. Go on. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, a rebuke to the church. He said, I hear that when you come together not for the better, but for the worse. Can you imagine? People going home from church worse off than they were when they came. I don't know how many different ways you can say that's not the way it's supposed to be, but that's not the way it's supposed to be. We should find refreshing rest in one another's company. We should find encouragement. We should find support. We should find strength. We should find a brotherhood, a family harbor here. Out there, we expect to be persecuted. We expect opposition. We expect hassles. That's not what we ought to come together to find. Paul said he was expecting when he came to Rome to visit these believers that he would find refreshing rest in their company. Refreshing rest. I don't think that's giving you justification to sleep through the sermon. Not that kind of rest. Okay, some of you are awake anyway. Okay, tough crowd this morning. I want you to consider with me characteristics of a refresher. Characteristics of a refresher. Go back to the 2 Timothy 1 passage with me. Second Timothy 1:16 again, talking about Onesiphorus. You ever wonder about people's names in the Bible? We know about Barnabas. Barnabas was not his given name. His mom called him Joseph. But the disciples called him Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, because he was such an encourager to have around. Onesiphorus means bringing profit or bringing advantage. He was the kind of guy that when he was around, everybody felt better. Everybody's walk with the Lord was helped and strengthened. Paul says, he often refreshed me. You see, one who is going to be a refresher has to have a servant's heart. Has to have a servant's heart. Just like Onesiphorus was willing to serve the Apostle Paul. He wasn't looking out for his own safety. You know, going and visiting the Apostle Paul when he's a prisoner for being a Christian and he's ready to be executed, waiting the execution, that could be dangerous because you're aligning yourself with somebody who has been declared by Rome to be an enemy. Onesiphorus could have said, hey, Paul, you know, how about if I just write you a letter? Would that be okay? I know, Paul, I'm with you in spirit. Is that okay? Onesiphorus didn't do that. He searched for Paul. They didn't make it easy to find prisoners in those days. They didn't have a website you could go to and look up somebody and they'd tell you where they are. Onesiphorus spent time searching out the Apostle Paul and visited him repeatedly. Because a refresher has a servant's heart. You suppose Onesiphorus was doing that for Onesiphorus' sake? I don't think so. I expect he got something out of it. I mean, how could you visit with the Apostle Paul and not get something out of it? But he wasn't doing it for his sake. He wasn't doing it for his benefit. He was doing it for the sake of the Apostle Paul. Here's a third passage I want you to leave a marker in. Go with me to the little book of Philemon. Right after 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon. I want to start in verse 4, and we're going to head down to verse 7, and then we're going to skip. If you're wondering what chapter, okay, Philemon, verse 4. I thank my God always, making mention of you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. And I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. Now here's why he's praying for him. Verse 7. For I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother. The hearts of the saints have been refreshed through Philemon. Now skip on down. Verse 19. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it. Not to mention to you that you owe to me even your own self as well. Verse 20. Yes, brother, let me benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Paul says, Philemon, I'm sending this worthless slave back to you, but he's not worthless anymore. He's useful to you. I'm sending this slave back to you who ran away from you, who probably stole from you. And Philemon, if he stole anything from you, put that on my account. I'll pay you back when I see you. Now, Philemon, I want you to do this for me. And I have confidence that you will. Verse 21, having confidence in your obedience, I write to you since I know that you will do even more than I say. Paul said, Philemon, I want you to receive this runaway slave. And when you do that, Philemon, that's going to refresh me. That's going to refresh my spirit. That's going to lift my heart. Because he's now your brother too. Refresh your benefits to the other person in the Lord. You can't be selfish and be a refresher. You can't be looking out for number one and be a refresher. A refresher of necessity has to be looking out for other people. A refresher has to be sensitive to other people. You know, not everybody is. You know, you can be around people and you can be discouraged, you can be frustrated, you can be irritated, and there'll be some people who won't have a clue. And it will be other people that you can think you've had it hidden pretty well, and it will pick up on it like that, and they'll come to you and say, what's going on? Something up? Ever had somebody do that to you? You thought you were, you know, acting the good Christian, you came into church, somebody said, how you doing? You said, fine, you lied through your teeth. And somebody else came up to you and said, no, really, how you doing? Because they were sensitive to you. A refresher is sensitive to other people. A refresher is looking out for the other person. Wants to benefit the other person in the Lord. And like Paul said of Philemon, a refresher is somebody who goes beyond what's expected. A refresher is somebody who does more than just what's expected. Have you ever had people that, you know, had said they'd help you do something, and you had to tell them every single thing to do? They're working with you on some project, and you tell them, go do something, and they go do that one thing, and then they sit down. Like that was all there was to do. And you know there's a whole bunch more work to do, and they're sitting there watching you do it. And so you say, okay, now if you finish that, now go do this. And they go do that, and then they sit down, and they watch you keep working. I don't know about you, but that deflates me. That unrefreshes, I'm not sure what the opposite of unrefreshing is, but that wears me out. If I have to keep nagging somebody to, you know, okay, now get up and go do this. Okay, now you finish that, now get up and go do this. At some point I say, hey, forget it, I'd rather do it myself. It's less discouraging for me to just do it myself than to have to tell you everything to have to do. I'm not talking about those who just legitimately don't know. I'm talking about those who, you know, work could come and slap them in the face and they wouldn't see it. Okay? A refresher is somebody who comes to you and says, hey, is there something I can do to help you? Is there something I can do to help? You know, it seems like you're really busy here. You know, is there some way I could do something and take, you know, some of your load off? I don't know about you, but somebody comes in and says that to me, man, my spirit goes, yeah, really? Are you for real? Are you kidding? Of course there's something you can do to help me. Let me give you a list. A refresher does more than is asked or expected. And a refresher ministers to the other person's needs. Remember what Paul had said about Fortunatus and Stephanus and Achaicus back in 1 Corinthians chapter 16? 1 Corinthians chapter 16. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. They have supplied what was lacking on your part. Therefore, acknowledge such men. They minister to other people's needs. That means you can't be so needy yourself that you need all of the ministry. There are some people that are ministry vacuums. You know, everything flows toward them and nothing ever gets out. It's like a ministry black hole. Okay? Know people like that? They're taking and taking and taking and getting and getting and giving and there's never anything back. That's not a refresher. That's a discourager. That's a depressor. A refresher ministers to the other person's needs. That's all part of having a servant's heart. To benefit the other person in the Lord, do more than asked or expected, minister to the other person's needs. And then finally, minister to the needs of many people. Minister to the needs of many people. Paul had talked about Philemon, that others had been refreshed through him. Now, Achaicus and Fortunatus and Stephanus, you know, and others have been ministered to by them as well. Onesiphorus talked about not only that he had refreshed Paul, but you know what also ministry he had had at Ephesus. Somebody who has the attitude, the character of being a refresher, just goes around ministering to people. They're not looking for glory. They're not looking for the big spotlight ministries. They want to do the behind the scenes, propping people up and supporting people and encouraging people. Refresher keeps on keeping on. Keeps on keeping on. Again, as Paul talked about Onesiphorus in 2 Timothy 1. He sought him out repeatedly. He went looking for him. It says verse 16, he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. It didn't bother Onesiphorus that Paul was chained, that he was in prison, that he was a prisoner of Rome. It didn't bother him. He wasn't there to feel comfortable himself. He was there to refresh Paul. He wasn't there to be comfortable himself. He was there to refresh Paul. Eagerly searched for me and found me. The end of verse 18, you know very well what services he rendered at Ephesus. Refresher keeps on keeping on. Refresher, you know, kind of like the Energizer Bunny, just keeps going and going and going. Because he sees so many people around who are weary in the work and need their spirits refreshed, need their heart lifted. And so rather than doing the work themselves, they go behind the scenes and they try to support and encourage and refresh those people who are weary in the work. A refresher seeks you and delights in you. Larry Crabb, in his book Connecting, tells about a man who had an older mentor. And this younger man, the disciple, was telling Larry Crabb about one time going to visit this man, and he had taken the train, and this man, you know, had gone out onto the platform and was waiting for him. And this younger disciple got off the train, and he down the platform, he saw several cars away. He saw his mentor, this older gentleman. And as soon as their eyes met, and they happened to see and recognize each other, he saw this older man start jumping up and down, just like a little kid. And he said, it so moved this younger man that as they got together later, that this younger man found himself sharing things deeply, personally, things that he had never intended to share with his mentor. Because he sensed, because of his mentor's uninhibited reaction to him, he had sensed that it was safe. It was safe. Do you have people that just delight in you? Not what you can do for them, not what you can give them, just you. Don't you wish everybody was like that? Larry Crabb, in turn, was refreshed by that man's response, by just hearing of the exchange that had gone on between that older mentor and the younger disciple. That, in turn, refreshed Larry Crabb. A refresher is not ashamed of your circumstances. Not ashamed of your circumstances. You may dwell in humble circumstances. Refresher doesn't care about that. Somebody may be in prison or in the hospital. Refresher doesn't care about that. He delights in you. He delights in you. Refresher is not focused on what you can do for him. Refresher gives joy and comfort. Let me read for you. If you've got Philemon marked, you can turn there if you want to, but otherwise I'll just read it for you. Philemon, verse 7. Paul says, "For I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother." I've come to have much joy and comfort in your love. Being around a refresher is like that. It's like that. Refresher is trustworthy. Philemon, verse 21, Paul said, "I know that I can count on you. I know that you'll do even more than I'm asking of you." A refresher is trustworthy. I mean, he would have to be, because think of the opposite. If you ask somebody to do something, they said, "Okay, yeah, I'll do that," and then they didn't, would that encourage you or discourage you? Discourage. Yeah. If somebody is going to be a refresher, then they have to be good to their word. They have to be a man or woman of integrity. They have to be willing to follow through. If they make a commitment, then they'll follow through on it. I appreciate that in Psalm 15. It says that a man of integrity swears to his own hurt and will not change. A refresher is somebody who is trustworthy. In Proverbs, Solomon wrote about some other kind of people. You don't need to turn there if you want to just jot down a couple of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 26. "Like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy one to those who send him." Vinegar to the teeth. Just set your teeth on edge. Smoke to the eyes. You know, when you're around a fire and the smoke blows in your face and your eyes burn and you have to squint. "So is a lazy one to those who send him." But Solomon knew some of the right kind of people. Proverbs 25, verse 13. "Like the cold of snow in the time of harvest is a faithful messenger to those who send him. For he refreshes There's our word. The soul of his master. Who is that? Who refreshes the soul? The guy who does what he said he would do. The guy who follows through on his commitments and his obligations. That's a refresher. When we arrive on a scene, when we show up someplace, do we lighten the load of those around us, or do we increase their burden? Do we minister to them, or do we start requiring them to minister to us? Gordon MacDonald has written a book talking about relationships with people, and he categorizes people, and he has one group of people he calls VDPs, very draining people. You know anybody like that? You know, you spend some time with VDPs, and when they leave, you're just exhausted because they have wrung you dry. That's not a refresher. That's like that black hole person I mentioned about, where all they do is absorb and take in ministry. They never give out. They never support anybody else. And when you part company with them, you just go, "Oh man, I'm exhausted." Oh, but there are other people. There are other people that when you have the opportunity to spend some time with them, they recharge you. You leave their company energized and refreshed and encouraged. That's the Onesiphorus kind. That's the Philemon kind. That's a refresher. Finally, go back to 1 Corinthians 16. We don't pay much attention to refreshers, but we should. Again, verse 17, 1 Corinthians 16, 17. I rejoice over the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus because they have supplied what was lacking on your part. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. See, these guys didn't just serve when they were sent on a mission. I believe they were sent on the mission because the people in Corinth already knew they were refresher guys. And they thought Paul would need that, so they said, okay, who can we send to Paul that will refresh him? Oh, okay, I know, Achaicus, Stephanus and Fortunatus. Let's send those guys. You suppose maybe there were some other guys they considered, and they said, no, let's not send them. Paul doesn't need those guys. Paul doesn't need them to come. Look at the end of verse 18. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours, therefore acknowledge such men. Acknowledge such men. Take note of them. Hold them in high regard. Honor them. Why? Because they're doing an important work. Is there anything that anybody's going to take much notice of? Probably not. Except God. God's going to take notice of it. And the people who are the beneficiaries of their refreshing will take notice of it. Because they'll know how good it was to have been with them. They'll know how refreshing it was to have spent time with them. They'll notice that when they spend time with them, their burdens just seem a little lighter. The future seems a little brighter. Because they're refreshers. They believe in you. They're here to support you. They encourage you. They love you. Just because you're you. Now I want to get you involved. I am confident there have been times that you have been refreshed by other people. How did they do that? What has someone done that refreshed you? Because many times we as pastors are accused of being really spending a lot of time on the why part and not spending enough time on the what and the how part. So I'm going to talk about the how right now. How have you been refreshed? How has somebody ministered to you that lifted your spirits and enabled you to keep on keeping on for a while longer? How'd somebody do that? Valerie. just noticing something about somebody and giving a compliment. You know, that in order to give that compliment, that means you gave that person more than a cursory, "Hi, Radic." You know, well, maybe I shouldn't have used him as an example of hair, but. At least if somebody says, you know, "Your hair really looks nice. A nice dress, nice shirt, nice tie, Dave." At least I paid attention enough to notice you. That helps. Okay? How else has somebody refreshed you? Man, if it hadn't happened any more than that, we're in trouble. Okay. Annette.
Telling
you that they were praying for you. And you know what? I would suggest, if you say that when you run into them automatically at church, that's one thing. You know how much more it would mean if you actually went to the trouble of making a phone call to say, "Hi, we missed you in church. I just want you to know I'm praying for you because I missed you." How many of you would be encouraged if somebody did that to you? Okay, let the record show almost everybody's hand is up. Oh, Doug finally got, yeah, okay. Okay, how else? Valerie, another one.
Not just the complimentary hug, the squeeze.
Okay, a serious demonstration of godly, holy affection. Bob? Just living the Christian life, being an example, being there for other people, showing them what it looks like to be a believer in Jesus Christ, a child of God in 2010. Terry.
Doing an unselfish thing without being asked.
I'm sorry.
Doing an unselfish thing.
Okay. Doing something unselfishly. Okay? It's not snowing out there, but how many of you ever, when you were leaving church, have gone out and found out somebody that went out before you scraped your windshield? That ever happened to anybody? Okay. How would that make you feel if you did? That'd make me feel, I would like to go on record, that would make me feel good. Okay. Let the record show. Okay? How else? Valerie.
Showing a real concern in their life or their family, asking questions.
Sure.
You know, how was your week? I heard your sister was sick, or how's she doing now?
How's Jennifer's pregnancy going? Okay. You don't think that would lift Valerie's heart to know that you were concerned enough? You know her daughter's name. You know her daughter's pregnant. You know the problem, pregnancy, the concern. Okay, that's going to refresh your grandma. I'll guarantee it. Brenda.
Mine's a little bit related to hers. Encouragement and showing that they care differently.
Sure. Showing that you care for somebody. Rebecca.
I was encouraged this morning to see really pretty flowers outside.
I said,
really pretty flowers outside. Someone.
How many of you noticed the flowers? Okay? Weren't that great? Aren't they attractive? That make you feel better when you walked in? Okay? Let me make another suggestion. In these days of electronic communication, emails and tweets and all those other things, you know, how meaningful is it if you receive in the mail a handwritten card? I've got a file folder of them in my office that every once in a while I pull out and say, "Okay, let's read something, you know, encouraging." Okay, I keep a lot of those. That they mean something. Okay, in these days, I know it's easy to shoot off an email or an instant message or a text message or something to somebody, and that's okay. I'm not disparaging that. I'm just saying if you go to the extra trouble to pick out a card and sign it and write a note in it, and then have to address the envelope and go to the post. You've spent more time. You have demonstrated by the amount of time you have spent, you're really concerned about that person. I'm not saying that an instant message doesn't communicate concern. It does. But, to me, a handwritten card says, or the hallmark, when you really want to say something, I don't know.
Joe called me on my birthday.
Okay. Okay. I put birthdays in the bulletin every Sunday, I don't always get them. I miss some sometimes, but, call somebody on your birthday. Christina.
Give me a battery.
Okay. Serving somebody. Going the extra mile. Meeting a need. Caring for somebody. You know what? Part of that requires, and this is going to sound pretty trivial. Brandy.
Somebody help me get my Jeep fixed.
Okay. Somebody helps her get her Jeep fixed. Okay. I'm going to suggest something else. This is going to maybe sound trivial to you. Showing up. Like y'all are here this morning. You've demonstrated that you care enough about this body of Christ, this part of the body of Christ, to show up this morning. You know what? People who aren't here can't refresh us. They can't. I mean, they can call some other time, but just being faithful, showing up, caring about the body. I'll leave you with a cartoon that I clipped out and scanned some time ago. The sincerest form of encouragement is actual help. It's one thing for people to stand on the sidelines and applaud while you're, sweating and working and getting exhausted. It's something else when they pitch in. Sincerest form of encouragement is actual help. You refreshed me this morning. I pray that I have refreshed you. I pray that we will take the ministry of being a refresher seriously, because it is a blessed ministry. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for those people that you will put in our lives that just lift our hearts. The people that we are always glad to see and who are always glad to see us. Father, thank you so much for the joy that that gives us. Thank you for the way it helps us to keep on keeping on for the Lord. May we be refreshers to one another, Father. May we seek not so much to be refreshed as to refresh others. Because in that ministry of refreshing others, we will be refreshed ourselves. Thank you, Father. We love you, and we love this church. We love the people of this church. Dismiss us now with your grace, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. May the great refresher go with you as you leave.